Now, I said something last time. He was talking about people bearing the glory, all right? That they begin to bear that glory as they are transformed into that image of that glory. Do you understand? And how is the transformation? How they focus on God, all right, is what comes out as the effect that they will have upon people that they are ministering to. Let me tell you something. This is how it is. Listen. Oh, God, maybe it's my ministry to let you understand that these powers work not just for preachers, but for everybody. The businessman shouldn't... I wish people would understand. Read, attend seminars. Amen? But more importantly, this is how God is, and this is how Christ Jesus is, the Spirit of Christ. The Bible said that through him were all things made. Nothing was made that was not made by Christ Jesus. Did I hear an amen? That's just a matter of fact. Ministry, that's the one most of us think about. But businesses, through him, everything was made. Marriages, families, homes. Do you get what I'm saying? Careers, all right? Investments, anything. Everything was made through him. Therefore, let me say this. If the preacher needs to pray and study the scriptures to go and minister, listen to me. The businessman needs to pray and study the word of God and meditate to go and do business. I hope you hear what I said. I hope you hear what I said. That is, you know, I have thought about this enough. You know, something happened in my office today. We're doing a seminar. And we're talking about DNA repair, DNA synthesis. And I was looking at how they wrote how from the 5' end, the primary template is read from here, and then the new template being made, the new DNA chain being made is read from here. And we talked about, you know, those of you who know biology, you know what I'm saying? Talk about things like Okazaki fragments. You know, we're just discussing in the office, and all the disorders that arise from failures of these enzymes, and inherited disorders in some things. I'm a pathologist, so you get the point. So we're having a seminar in the office, and what I was going through my mind is that how on earth did human beings come to the point, listen, of being able to read whether something is going from the 5' end? These are things that you can't see. There is no microscope invented on earth yet to see them. We deduce them through interesting methods. Listen, you know, if you want to believe in evolution, may you die and go to hell. Because it does not make sense. No, you cannot evolve. You know, those who believe in evolution, to me, they never studied science. They didn't. Study science, your trust in the fact that there's no God will evaporate. Like somebody said, evolution makes as much sense. You know, they call it cyclone. Now, in the midst of hurricane, cyclone, you know, all those, there's what they call tornadoes. A tornado is the great twister. All right? They said it makes as much sense that a tornado will hit a junkyard. By the time it has left, it will leave a Boeing 747 behind. That's as much sense as it makes to tell me an amoeba was made by chance. Because I know, if you study biology, you know that some things don't come by chance. Please, I'm bringing out something. That the power that made everything, all right, the Bible said is in who? In Christ Jesus. By him all things were made. As I was thinking today when we were in the office, I realized that, look, what people understood, they understood being guided by the Spirit of God. It is not everybody that the Spirit of God guides that understands that the Spirit of God is guiding him. The Bible said that a farmer that gets results, he said he himself knoweth not how. It happens. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, this is what I'm saying is very important. That is a lot. There is no thing, the wisdom to understand things in life, God has to give it to people. Go and see what he said. Elijah was speaking to Job. He said, no one says, where is God my maker? Who makes us wiser than the best of the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air? The ability, listen, if this will surprise you, the agreement in gene between a chimpanzee and a human being, are you getting my point? It's about 97%. You share about 97% of your genes with the chimpanzee. It's interesting. The difference in genetic makeup between me, a black African, all right, and a man from Norway is less than 0.1%, the difference in our genetic makeup. It doesn't matter whether I am short and he's very tall, okay, or, as is obvious, he's without pigmentation and very, very dark. You check the difference in our genes. As a matter of fact, the difference, okay, is less than 0.1%. That's even a small. We are both human beings. Abi, is the one with chimpanzee that's more interesting. Difference between you genetically and a chimp is like 3%. Except that one thing God never gave him is his spirit and understanding. Are you getting my point? That's why he said, no one says, where is God my maker, who makes us wiser than the beasts of the field and the birds of the air? It is the wisdom that God gives. That spirit in man, that Eli who said, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. That is the major difference. One day, Professor Jukutu was talking in Lagos. We were in an autopsy room. He came for an autopsy. And he's a professor of, neurosurgery. And we were discussing. You know the animal, in quotes now, the animal kingdom, using scientific definition now, that has the largest brain. Who can tell me? Who knows? Okay, I'll tell you. It's man. Human beings have the largest brain. You see the elephant? You see that big head? It's empty. There's nothing inside. It's just a mass of bone filled with air. I'm not joking. Sinuses everywhere. His brain is maybe the size of my fist. Elephant, as a big soul, you not get head. You see a giant whale running up and down. The size of his brain will embarrass you. I'm serious. Yeah, they walk by instinct. No, I'm telling you. The major difference, of course, after human beings are things like the apes and all of that, all right? Now, Professor Jukutu was saying something like that has been discovered. That if you go to the interior most villages and pick the starkest of illiterates, all right? Now, there's a way he described it, that at the end of the day, you check the size of his brain, is just a little bigger than that of an ape. I'm bringing out something. Without the wisdom that God gives, that is, when people's brains don't do anything, don't work wisdom, don't work in thanksgiving, don't work in productivity, it shrinks to the size of that of an ape. I'm bringing out an issue. Listen, that is, forget preachers. Preachers is good. We have no choice but to read the Bible. After all, if we don't read the Bible, what are we going to tell you? Stories. But I'm going to bring out something. The ability to make good investments. Alright? You want the good ability. When God has put a fragrance upon your head in that area, before you leave your house, do the same thing. Pray and study and meditate on the grace of Christ Jesus. You will make better investments than any other, than anybody on the earth. Warren Buffett will be a child where you are standing. I'm not joking about that. You are an inventor. You are an artist. You are a musician. Stop trying to copy Puff Daddy or Snoop Doggy Dog. You don't need that. Believe me, you don't. I was into this girl the other day, whether it's Asha or Asa or whatever her name is. I discovered that until I heard her, I never heard anything like her. I listened to my friend's wife sing the other day. Oh my gosh, she sang so well. I could say, have you ever heard this of this lady? She said no. I said, I'll send you her CD. In my opinion, she sings better than that lady. I'm not joking about that. That's my opinion. But the reason why I want to send her the music, the reason because I told her, just listen to it. I told her it's not gospel. I don't know whether she's a Christian or not. That's besides the point right now. I said, I just want to get inspiration that if you want to sing, you don't have to sing like anybody. I remember when this girl came out that those days singing. This girl from South Africa. Tracy Chapman. I heard her sing. I never heard anything like this. Since then, I've not heard anything like that. Kirk Franklin. Before Kirk Franklin, there was no Kirk Franklin. Since then, I have seen all kinds of people try to be Kirk Franklin. Nobody has succeeded in being Kirk Franklin. Are you getting the point I'm making? These things are good for us to see so that you will take inspiration from that. And bring us something. It's not only prayer that's supposed to meditate and pray before he goes out to go and minister. The businessman should meditate and pray. You will have on, listen, because there is a spirit, the spirit of Christ, by whom all things were made. The biggest investment principles in life, you have not yet seen it. Are you getting my point? The musician, I was reading this book, John G. Lake, John Graham Lake, about the man I respect the anointing the most on this earth. He died many years ago, all right? At least 70 years ago, thereabout. Okay? Now, G. Lake talked about what he called the ultimate note. That which when a musician hits it, he or she knows. I don't know whether you get the point. That it's as if the person draws music from afar, not from this realm. I don't know whether you are getting my point. It's not something he or she heard somebody else sing. that it just rises from inside. And I have discovered everybody who becomes famous in music, in anything, usually they bring out something that is unique. But there's something I'm bringing out. We know about preachers, we know about musicians. I want to understand that the same principle holds with every part of life. To the businessman, it holds. To the entrepreneur, it holds. To the inventor, it holds. To the scientist, of course, more than anything else. You heard me last time on Saturday, I talked about Charles Townes, who won the John Templeton Award, because he explained that to invent the laser beam, to discover the principles of the laser, he was sitting down one day just thinking, an idea just came to his mind. And he thought to himself, this is exactly the same way prophets receive messages from God. I have just gotten my own message from God. You are getting the principle. I want us to understand that thing. That how do we get transformed? I'm talking about glory. This, you know, glory is not something we imagine. You know, remember, imagine. And then they say something, when you talk about glorious, you know, the joke, when Moses' face appeared shining, people literally had to block their eyes like this. Say, what is that? They say, it's this face of Moses. First time Moses put the veil upon his face was to give everybody else peace. I'm bringing out something. There are ideas that will shoot out of your soul, and there will be no other way to explain it than it is glorious. When, let me give you a Bible story there. When Joseph gave Pharaoh idea, what did Pharaoh say? Glorious. That is, he said, can we find one as wise and discreet as this one? He says, seeing that in him dwelt the spirit of the gods. That is, the idea this guy has given us, only inspiration gives it to people. What am I trying to explain? He said, to manifest that glory, the first thing we do, all right? Verse 18. But with all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Are you noticing it? From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is, if I am going to produce glory on the earth, I don't have to be a preacher. It is vain for a man to rise up early and go out of the house very early, hoping to catch the earliest clients. For God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. Do you know what Elihu said about God speaking to people? One of the ways he said is even that God speaks while they are sleeping in visions of the night. You don't need to rush off anywhere. You must leave the house armed, do you get my point? With an anointing, having beheld the face of God. Now, if you heard me say it again and again, there is no substitute. All right? There's no substitute for success for the Christian outside depending on God, outside of prayer, outside of focusing on God's word. The word of God doesn't only give you direction and thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, your moral issues. No. It inspires you. That is, you will hear a message on redemption. By the time you leave there, you invent an engine. The message was on redemption. By the time you leave, you are building houses for less than 1 million naira. That is, you just have an idea. And so you realize that I can complete a whole house. What is this, okay? 3-bedroom, a small bungalow for 1.2 million. And all you heard was a message on what? Redemption. You will hear a message on the second coming of Christ. You will go out, get what I'm saying, and the spirit inside you will buy up a company that has died, and there will be a second company coming of the company. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, so that's what Paul, look, listen, that's all Paul was trying to explain here. That who has this power in himself? We don't. He said our sufficiency is of God. Now, Paul now said, for this reason, now I'm in chapter 4 now, right? For this reason, he said, for this reason, verse 1, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. That is, we're not discouraged. You know, I was talking to Chike just now, and he said that he went for Platform, you know, and Platform is a program that Pastor Kwaji organized in Lagos. And there were about 5 people that spoke on Platform. One lady, Awoshika lady, Bishop David Oyedepo spoke. One Sharon McPherson came from America. There's another guy of Champs Nigeria Limited. You know ValuCard? The guys that started ValuCard in Nigeria. You know, a number of people. And Leke Alder of Alder Consulting and all of that. Now, they were telling me the kind of thing that the guy has accomplished, okay? that, you know, GT Bank, when they did their corporate rebranding, all right, he did it. All right, that's the person that did it for GT Bank. When Nigeria did this, there's some international, you know, image, this thing. The Heart of Africa, that's the guy who did it. You know, so you understand, for Nigeria. You know, that means the guy is playing big now, all right, not playing small. So I was not in the chicken when I first went to his office years ago. I'm talking around about 11 years ago. All right, then all he used to do was do some artwork and all of that. Started doing some graphics for people and stuff. This was quite some time ago. So he described many things. Talked about the Awoshika woman who has the largest furniture company in West Africa. All right, in this country, that's where it is situated. Don't tell me nothing's happening from this country. The largest furniture company in West Africa, you know, it is Nigeria. And that woman, get her, okay? Now, so we're discussing all those things. That woman said for the first 7 years, he didn't make any money. And that's the first 4 or 7 years. Every money she made, she used to pay the loan. That is, she would take a loan for a few months, all right? By the time she's finished making money on the project, the money just enough to cover everything and pay the loan back. There was a day her breakthrough came, all right? Her breakthrough came through one day she did a big job for one of the banks. And on that job, she didn't make any money also. All this gra must make money now. Now, these are people who are gathered now. These are people who are doing multi-billion naira business now, all right, and teaching the rest of the country how to move the country forward. Are you getting me? And he said, okay, just to give you the gist, as Chike gave it to me, because I wasn't there, that the lady said that, so when the bank was now doing like a grand opening or doing a program, a ceremony, so they invited all their contractors, including her. So they introduced her amongst the big contractors. She didn't make any money. The money they paid was just enough to cover for the project and pay the bank loan that she used to fund it. But they now introduced that look, all this furniture you will see here, this is the person who did it. It's our big contractor. After that, government officials started showing up, say, oh, you did all of this? Cards were dropping. You know what I mean? Big people were dropping cards. Please, we will need your service. Please call us. Please, please, please. That was the beginning. What am I trying to explain? Chiki said, he turned to his friend and said, ah, can you see that? That one, I didn't make money for 7 years. So even if we don't make money now, this, we are following the same path. That's what I'm coming to. So it's a matter of time. He said, remember something I said? If I quoted it for him. He said, no, that he actually remembered it, that I said that Yorubama has a saying that the child that does not die must become an adult. He said, just to his friend, look, we mustn't die. All that matters now is that we shouldn't die. If these people succeeded, we have no problem. After all, we are towing the same path. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, why am I talking about that? Paul said that since we have this ministry, since we understand this principle, do you follow the point? He said, we do not lose heart. That's what I'm trying to explain. What was he saying there? That having seen that this is how this thing moves, even though after I've only done this for like about 4 years, no big deal. I'm still in good time. I mean, the time of my breakthrough using those people's life as examples is still coming. Are you getting the point? Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, that we are no longer, he said, we are not the matter of no longer, he said, we are not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let me read that from the New Living Translation so you will understand it. It says, and so, since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry of just doing the talking and the grace of God, you understand my point? Does the rest of the work. We never give up. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. Some young man came to me once, wanted to invite me to campus to come and speak. He said, we package a program. There's a bit of it on relationship. We know people like to hear that. Then when they come, we'll now preach the word of God there. I said, that is trickery. It's not necessary. Actually, what happened was that When I finished telling them everything, he now said that, okay, that I said, look, I'm sorry, I can't come. I'm not planning to come. So I just told them honestly, it's not the kind of thing I do. All right? So please, I'm sorry, I will not be able to come. They're young people, nice young men, good Christians. They said, okay, please, what kind of elderly advice do you have for us? I said, let me give you advice. Stop playing magomago, it's not necessary. If you want to teach on relationships, teach on relationships because you think there is something people need to know about relationships. And ask a man who knows relationships. Don't tell people, come and hear on relationships so that you can preach the gospel to them. I said, it's not necessary. I said, you're on campus. You want to help people. Help them. What is a student's number one challenge? Passing his exams. Why don't you do a seminar and don't use it as cover for when you finish coming to learn how to read, we come preach the gospel under it. It's childish. That is not necessary. Because the principle of ministry is love. Do you get my point? I love you. I want to help you. So, you're a student, and I know the problem of students is this. Number one problem of students is how to handle the academics, how to pass the exam, how to learn effectively. And do something on that, and really do it from the bottom of your heart. You are a preacher, so whatever, what I'm like, you are Christians. Whatever it is, you must put the gospel of Christ Jesus inside it. Do you understand my point? But the thing you want to go help people. I don't know where I get my point. Like, let us pray. We are Christians. We just want to give you what God has given us as light. At the end of the day, make your altar call. What I'm trying to bring out is this. There's no need for underhanded methods. Preach the gospel the way it is. Listen, I have found out one of the reasons why we have run down Christianity a bit in this our day and age is that we want to try and entice people with sweet talk. You get my point? People come to church as a shortcut to making money. I think that what we should do, preach exactly what the truth. Preach the love of God that forgives sins. Preach the judgment of God. If you die, you go to hell. I'm telling the truth. I'm trying to bring out something. It is not your method. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's getting the results. Are you getting my point? Paul said, since we have received this mercy, since we have received this kind of ministry, therefore we don't lose heart. Now, why will a man say he's not losing heart? Is it not because there's cause to lose heart? No, answer me now. No, I always say, when David said, my enemy, don't rejoice over me. Even though I fall, I will rise up again. What does that tell you? He's singing that song from the floor. that song, he's singing it from where? The floor. If he was the one standing over the enemy, will he tell the enemy, don't rejoice over me? He's the one on the floor. He has invested money. He has lost it. He hasn't gone home because he's owing money. He's the one that's on the floor. He's the one they chased out of his palace. He's the one that's on the floor. That's why he's singing, my enemy, don't rejoice over me. Even though I fall, I shall rise again. No, you should read the Bible well. I understand where to sing some songs. When you are broke, say to the devil, don't rejoice over me when I'm broke. Even though I'm broke, I shall yet become rich. That is the right time to sing the song. So when Paul said that we don't lose heart, what does that tell you? Man, oh boy, there's discouragement. And on preach, nothing happened. No, really. I told you before at the beginning. That's why I've never understood who harass people. Say, you seem to be begging people to come to church. I remember one of my friends, they attended the church where the kind of follow-up they used to do, I couldn't understand it. It was aggressive, intimidating, overpowering, crushing. Which other word can I use now? I'm also, why are you begging this person to come to church? Now, I'm explaining a principle, all right? That Paul said, we don't lose heart because we understand that, look, what we are supposed to do is what we are doing. I hope you are getting my point. And we are being scored on not on the response. I want you to understand this. God doesn't score you on the results you get. He scores you on the effort you put in. Paul said, each man is rewarded according to what? His labor. I told business people a lot of time when I'm talking, not only about anybody in life. Let me even say this one, it'll make you happy. Even you know some guys, you don't mark one sister well, and you don't spend money. You even prayed for her when you want to pray at night, you know, in your house. When she's broke, you help out. Christmas Day, you take her out. New Year's Day, you buy a present. Valentine's Day, all correct. Easter, her birthday, you buy her a gift. On your birthday, you buy her a gift. After 2 years of intense labor like this, she tells you that as I was praying, actually I dreamt a dream and the road divided and you went to the left, I went to the right. Ah. All of you can laugh, but it's not funny. Hey, there's nothing that crazes a man like that. That's the only thing that has the ability to make a man just colo sharp instantly. Have you ever heard of Cruden's Concordance? Cruden's Concordance. That book, Cruden's Concordance, the first concordance in this world. It was written by a crazy man who went crazy because a girl broke his heart. Go and read the story. I'm not joking. Cruden's Concordance. The man was crazy enough. There was no computer. To get a whole concordance of the Bible, you need to be out of your mind. A woman sent him like that. Now, what am I going to explain? But then, I have explained one principle to you and hear it again. It is not effort wasted. Oh God, listen. The thing about believers, Christians, is that they have the ability to see beyond the natural. That is what Paul meant when he said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We know things that other people using their natural senses don't understand. Every seed you sowed in holiness and godly sincerity into that young girl's heart is a spiritual seed. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's begetting for you something in the life of somebody you have not yet met. I'm not preaching to make you to feel happy. I'm telling you the truth that I believe with all my heart. Listen, share this on our 2 years we labor. The next girl you will meet, in January 1st, February 30th, if you like it. There's no 30th in February. But February 28th, I'm pronouncing you man and wife. Yeah, I'm serious. You will be surprised. One, that is from meeting to proposal to acceptance to planning to wedding, 2 weeks, 2 months. Is it possible? You've not heard that God can do a quick work, cut short in righteousness. Sharp, sharp. God knows they waste time. Before you say, will you? He said, in fact, before you asked, I have answered. It's very scriptural. And ladies, let nobody pretend to you, they lie to you that hey, it means you are cheap, you decrease. If you wanted a cheap woman, didn't you know the way to find them on the street? Listen, I'm a man. Believe me. Oh, you ladies, are you listening to me now? I shouldn't just say yes like that. Now he has to work some more. Do you know how much work he has to do from now till you die? No, the guy has work to do, so he may as well start it early. No, I'm telling you the truth. So, listen, let no, it's a lie of the devil that the guy will think that you're cheap nothing. He will like you, say, she didn't give me a headache. It's more honorable. I know what I'm saying. Now, I'm not going to explain that all the seed you sowed, do you follow my point? It's not lost. It's there, waiting to be harvested. No, what I'm saying is not a joke. Is not a joke. And that's not only in marriage. I've given us marriage as an example. Even in ministry, even in business, is the same thing. There are investments you make. Let me tell you something. A lot of investments you make in life, listen, in fact, let me just put it like this. As believers, the investments that God will use to give you breakthrough in life, all right, may not give you substance right now. You have to invest in faith. That is, when I say in faith, it's not believing that God will give me something. No. You invest because of necessity. I don't know what I mean by necessity. You understand what I mean by necessity? Oh God. I want to give a few examples that, okay, some things that my wife did some time ago, which is as an example. Somebody said, please, sell me this thing. I need it for my business. My wife is not even sure the person can pay. But by the time she finished explaining how much she needed it for her business, please, that is, I'm not giving you one cup now. I'm carrying it away. I won't give you a dime now. As I make money, please, I will be paying you. Right now, I'm doing this business, and I'm spending all my money hiring this equipment. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Listen, if she loses money tomorrow, I will. That is on that issue. I won't feel bad. I will. If I'm praying the gospel to her now, I will not feel bad at all. Why? If you made your judgment based on sound principles, don't ever regret them. Even though it doesn't beget anything. If a man comes to you, please, I need this money, he's desperate, lend it to me, I promise you, I'll pay you back in 1 month. And you lend him because he needed the money. It's not as if he promised you 50% profit. And at the end of the day, he doesn't pay back. Don't say, had I known. Do you follow my point? The fact is that you gave it to him because he needed it and you could palpate the need. It was real and tangible. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, the people that God will bless the most are not the naturally smartest investors. They are those who made some crucial investments based on faith. Not by faith. That they said, this will be good for this community. I preached a message some time ago, what I call the priestly corner of life. Don't ever neglect that corner. What I mean by priestly corner? There are different ways to explain it. A giving man, his giving may be his priestly corner. Do you follow my point? All right? That is, business-wise, it doesn't make sense. He has divided his profits and said, this portion is for charity, for the work of the ministry, for all of that, or sometimes for other people. Is they are maintaining an investment that's not giving them anything, but it's paying the staff and they are okay. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, this thing, if you move it to Lagos, it will make more money. He said, but in Enugu, it employs 60 people. If I move it, they lose their jobs. Let us go to Lagos and try and raise another one. But this one, we can't close it. What's the major reason? Because it's paying the people. I may not be getting much, but at least my spirit is keeping the place sustained and it's making enough to pay those who are there. It's called the priestly corner of life. It's a word I invented. And a phrase I invented. That blessing, God can take it and put it on the one you placed in New York. And you'll be making $1 million. It's not at the beginning, later on. You're making $1 million every month. People say, this guy is so lucky, he's so wise. God said, the day he shuts the one, he never go down. I close this one too. Then friends, then that is why you not go and Satan will lead you to go and get a consultant. Who will explain to you that this one is losing money? Then they will use human knowledge. Listen, great men understand charity. Warren Buffett, the richest man in the world, before he gave out all the money he had, there's a proportion of Berkshire Hathaway's profit that was going towards charity. So natural people will tell you that, this investment is losing money. Close this one down, we'll remove the money and put it, I say, okay, listen. Listen, I'm going to advise you entrepreneurs that are listening to me. One thing you must never do in your lifetime is to take your company public and lose more than 49% of your holding. Listen, because you will not be able to do what you believe in. You want to take it public? Do Dangote style. Say 30%. Collect all their stock market money. Pocket it. But please, don't lose control. Because there are things you must do. Called the priestly corner of life, which is sustain the whole picture, which Anderson Consulting, Please Consulting, PricewaterhouseCoopers, all of them put together can't understand. Paul said, we understand all of these things, therefore we don't lose heart. We chased the woman for 2 years, and she ran away with all our love and investment. We don't lose heart. We invested in the business. We didn't make any money. We don't lose heart. We lent the money. They did not pay back. We don't lose heart. You know the interesting part? I was listening to this Grameen Bank man, Muhammad Yunus. They said, what do you do when the people you lend money to don't pay back? The man said, think about it like this. You lend money to a woman to buy a cow so she can do some dairy farming and all of that. And the cow dies. What do you do? You know what they do? They call her, settle down, sit her down, console her, and give her money to buy another cow. He said, do you write off that debt? He said, not exactly. It's there. We will encourage her to pay a little bit more than the interest on the second one, but usually so little that it takes a very long time to pay the other one. They don't want to encourage people to just be careless. That's the reason why they put that one there. He said, the cow is dead. What do you want her to do? Yet, 90-something percent of their money has been paid back. They said, why did people pay back? He said, we are the first hope they have of coming out of poverty. They don't want to close the door. No, are you following the point I'm making? We understand this thing so we don't lose heart. We make investment, we lose money. Look, that's why a believer is different though, from a non-believer. My friend was telling me the other day about a guy who wanted to say, he's going abroad. What are you going to do? I want to go and hustle. May God deliver you from hustling. In Jesus' name, may you not be a hustler. You should be a man of holiness. No holiness. Who has a purpose? I hope you listened to the last two series I taught on radio. If thy eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. So he asked the guy, say, what about, the guy had a small business. Does some cooking and all of that. He employs like four or five people. He said, what about these people that you employed? He said, they will find their way now after I have gone. That is, you don't even consider them at all. Is the reason why if you go to hustle, the hustle go hard. Oh, I wish you would understand how to sow real spiritual seed. Those are the real spiritual seeds. Are you following the point I'm making? Paul said, we understand all these things. Therefore, we don't lose heart. That's the reason why we have renounced the hidden things because of shame. Not being able to tell the truth. You sell the machine, you know it's not fully working, but we have to collect the money. But when we have understood that if God doesn't put his blessing upon the money, that money is going to lead us into more trouble. As believers, we understand that things are beyond, do you get my point? The physical. So somebody wants to rip you off. Look, you don't even worry too much. I beg, leave him. This one you have taken. I wish you, like Pastor Paul, you said, you know what you have gained. You don't know what you have lost. And as for me, while I look at those things that are not seen, my temporal difficulty now, my temporal loss works for me at a far exceeding an eternal weight of glory. We are not trying to defraud anybody because we understand that these things move spiritually. We do what we are supposed to do and God does his own portion. I said earlier, one of the greatest lessons God has taught me in life is for me to understand what is my job and the one that is God's own to do. It's a great lesson in life. Know what is your portion. In your business, know what's your portion and what is God's portion. Listen, you can advertise all you want. You can't force those who heard your advert to respond. You know that. Now, if you go to verse 3, and I'm going to end with that. Maybe I'll continue from there next time. Now, having done all of the things, we have preached openly. By the manifestation of truth, we have commended ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. At the end of the day, some people still don't respond. If our gospel is hidden, it is not our fault. That's what he's saying this time around. No, read that verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, which we referred to earlier. Are you getting my point? When we were talking about being an odor, a fragrance. He said, if our gospel is veiled, it is those who are perishing, in whose case, this is the problem, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What am I trying to explain? Let me stop there. We'll continue from there next time. That is, having done all, I like the way this man said it, Joab, let the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. Remember what I said? All that Paul is trying to say is the same thing. That, oh boy, we are not struggling by our strength. We are doing what we are supposed to do, and God is pouring grace upon it. Having preached and preached and preached and preached, if some people still don't believe, it is because their eyes have been blinded. It is not because we have not used another method. Are you getting what I'm saying?